Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Richard Keys.
How's your tea, by the way?
Very nice.
Sorry, I'm Andrew Mullen Gray. Just made the tea for the morning. I think it's a nice colour, that one.
On the Wheels of Steel, yes. Luis, who's been away for
Luis
2 weeks.
Or Luis?
Well, not you don't need too much shh.
You don't.
It's a sort of half a shh.
I thought the Portuguese liked a shh.
Yeah, but not full on. It's gentle shh. Luis. Like it's José Mourinho.
José. Not José.
No.
José is Spanish.
José.
Yeah.
You say
José. So, yeah. Luis.
Who's now nodding Luis. Like a dog on the back seat of a 1970s car.
Yes. What was that dog called?
Oh, there was Churchill.
Churchill, that's him. That's him. Churchill used to nod in the back of the cars.
Oh, yes.
Tell you who does that brilliantly, Giddy, John Goodman.
Does he really?
Does, oh, yeah.
There's so much this week. There is so much this week. Our guest, Welsh international legend.
Yes.
Legend.
Absolutely.
One of a number that can proudly say, having hung his boots up, I played at the home of football. What's funny about that?
And then he can even more proudly say, but not for long.
Well, he did his job, in fairness.
He did.
He was a late addition to our struggle to stay in the Premier League.
Which failed.
Which didn't work out as we all would have wished.
Yes.
But John Hartson joins us later.
Got it.
So much stuff this week, Andy. A tweet from Simon Jordan.
Go on.
Now, I admit a conflict of interest here straight away.
Why?
Because I like Simon.
We're fans. Yeah, we're fans of Simon.
Simon's a good mate.
Yes.
Has become a very good friend down the years.
Yeah.
And I think he is. He's as good as I've heard on the radio.
Yeah.
In recent times.
I would concur with that sentiment.
So I think he's had a glass.
Oh.
When he tweeted this. I found myself watching at Piers Uncensored. Yes, I am one of the few? ? So I don't know why that was a question there, but I would have expected more of an announcement from him along these lines. I came away with a resounding conundrum! Given this, pontificating... Pontificating self-promoting blowhard announced to to those that would care. I mean, honestly, he's gone in two-footed here. He now has 8 million Twitter followers. Why are none of them watching his show?
No. That is a two-footer over the ball, straight on the shin.
The problem with...
Does he not like him?
Well, what struck me about this was the problem, and I'm guilty myself.
Yes.
Okay, so... But when you are criticising a pontificating, self-promoting blowhard...
And you are one yourself.
And you're in that category. It's a bit
Simon,
of...
Simon,
that
was
in
thinking.
Itself
yeah.
is, for me, a minor problem. But what really leapt out at me was, this is the king of talk sport.
Yes.
Taking on the king of talk TV.
Ooh.
Both owned by the same company.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what kind of reaction it will bring. The reason I mentioned it is not in order that we can have a chuckle or a gentle sideswipe.
No.
But I am hearing that Piers Morgan is looking to give his program a surge.
Really?
In terms of viewers.
Right.
And has come up with a very cunning plan.
What's that?
In order to do that.
Yes. What's that?
Well, the interview with Trump,
uh-huh.
which they launched, well,
that's
to,
good.
Obviously,
that's good.
Failed.
Did it?
Failed. Because the figures are still of a concern.
Okay.
So what would you do if you were Piers Morgan and you were thinking, I need to give this some impetus? What would you do?
Well, I'd look for somebody that, or some people or persons
mm-hmm.
that I, of, I don't know, actually, to be honest with you.
Well, I can reveal, and yeah. we are some way from concluding the deal, mm-hmm. but I can reveal here exclusively.
Piers is coming to Qatar.
And has requested
mm-hmm.
that we would join him
yes.
on his programme.
Yes.
Now, I think he's obviously a very good operator.
Absolutely.
But little surprising it's taken him this long. But having said that, we are looking forward
yes.
to sitting down.
I'd like to catch up with him, yeah.
Not everything, in fact, not much of what he says am I in agreement with.
Are you not?
But he
He's quite anti-woke, isn't he?
Well, yes and no.
Yes and no?
I'm not necessarily anti-woke at all. There are aspects of modern living that I can embrace.
Absolutely, 100%. One has
so
to.
So I'm not totally against wokeism.
Mm.
Howie, you'll love that.
Yeah.
But no, his political leanings are very different to
are
me.
They?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not. Forget politics.
Well,
if you're
you
to
always
me.
Say that.
Well, I do. I don't care about politics.
You do.
No, I don't.
You're a Tory.
I'm not. I'm nothing. I wouldn't vote for anybody. There you go. Out there, live out. I would not vote for anyone. No one deserves my vote.
Well, then you can't have an opinion.
I don't have an opinion. They're
good.
All rubbish.
Right.
Every one of them.
Okay. Okay, so I'm
voting Lib Dem next.
Oh, the ship's on the way. The luxury liner dubbed HMS Wag.
Oh, is it?
Mm.
I thought they weren't going on the boat.
They are now.
Okay,
but the players aren't. They've decided it's a good idea not to. Great piece today in the Times. The man in defence for Qatar, Hassan Al Tawadi. I'm not going to go through it. Really good piece. If you've got 5 minutes, go and find it. But at this point, we're not necessarily. It's our podcast. We can go.
Can it do what you like?
Crazy golf chain that's set to make a four tune, combining putts and pints, could be worth $500 million for the friends who set up Swingers. Swingers is a pub chain where you can play pitch and putt golf at the same time, indoors. Look, they're about 8 years ago they started. They're about to sign a multi-million pound deal with in the United States with sites in Washington, New York.
Okay. Never heard of that.
Combined sales last year of 24 million, in addition to the 18 million generated by two UK venues.
Two.
Both of them in London. There are plans for 12 more. You see.
Why is it?
Simple ideas.
Why is it?
It's. Well, the only paragraph I'll read. Sometimes the best business ideas are a new twist on an old favourite.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that crazy golf, usually the preserve of fading seaside resorts,
correct.
Would prove to be the next big thing for a night out with friends? But so it is proving to be.
We need a big pub.
We need, premises, yeah.
Yeah, and it's huge.
But
and they put a crazy golf in and you can have a beer.
How clever.
So that's it.
Really?
Really? Wow.
I mean, 500 million.
Oh. The best ideas are always the most simple.
It is. And whilst we're on the subject, Brummies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll grab it. That's Black Country.
Black Country. You've got to be careful, Black Country.
There is a very strong divide.
There is a strong divide.
And your family like to enforce it.
Yeah.
Brummies get a tongue lashing when it comes to the UK's worst accent.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Scottish.
What?
Right up there. Right up there.
How can you say Scottish? Scottish, there are different accents. A person in Aberdeen doesn't speak the same as me.
No, that's fair.
So how can they just say Scottish? That's typical.
Well.
Stereotypical.
Southern Irish. Brian will like that.
Brian will love that.
Brian O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Welsh. And then you're going down the list.
Right.
These are the
Welsh. These are all high up.
Yeah, this is from top to bottom. I'm going from top to bottom here.
What, worst accents?
No. The worst is at the bottom. So right. I'm going the best perceived accents.
Scottish?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's all right.
West Country, Manchester, Afro-Caribbean, Indian, and the bottom two, Liverpool.
And Birmingham.
The Brummy monotone, it's described as, is the least respected accents in the UK.
My kids were all born in Birmingham.
that's why
they all live there.
I'll have to mention this. Ronnie Radford. R.I.P. Ronnie.
Yeah.
Nice piece from Motti in the Times.
Yeah, it sort of should be from Motti.
It did change his life.
Motti did the game, didn't he?
He did the game.
Newcastle.
Those that don't know what we're talking about, Hereford United against Newcastle. Ronnie didn't get the winner.
No, but he got the goal of the day.
He got the goal of the day that took it to extra time. Malcolm McDonald had scored for Newcastle. It's one of the first cup ties I really remember. Motti had been sent along as a kind of... They were match of the day would have run it third, fourth, you know, even in those days on cup occasions. But this was, and still is, and we're still talking about it now.
Yeah.
Ronnie Radford.
What a goal.
As Hereford beat Newcastle 2-1, Super Mac and all, as I say, he'd scored the early goal.
What a pitch.
Richie George got the winner.
Yeah, what a pitch.
What a pitch.
Goodness me.
What a pitch.
It was like a mud heap.
Yeah. But those were the days when you got surprises in the
cup
because of the pitches like that.
Yeah.
You know, Cluffy used to turn the water on his, didn't he, at the baseball ground to make it unplayable.
Do you know I missed a cup final because of the baseball ground?
Did you?
We played Everton in that long, drawn-out League Cup final, went to three games, remember?
Yes.
And after the second game at Hillsborough, we drew 1-1. We had a game in between at the baseball ground, in between that and the third game at Old Trafford. And in that game, I went up for a header and landed in one of the massive frigging ruts. And at the baseball ground, turned my ankle and missed the cup final. Lovely.
Well, that's what Cluffy did.
Yeah.
They would put water on it, and plenty of it.
Plenty of it.
In order that it cut
off. Oh, it was terrible.
And the opposition.
That was a terrible state, that pitch.
Emery signs the longest deal in Aston Villa's history.
6 months?
Emery. over four. But what I don't understand is why Villa are so hesitant to tell us what the deal is, both how long it'll... last and what he's on. I think supporters deserve, in fact, need information like that. There's no reason why it shouldn't. It's why when we are in the window and they talk about fees for players non-disclosed.
No.
And I want to know what club has paid for a player or received
for a player.
That shouldn't be allowed.
Undisclosed is
Villa,
a very.
I don't understand Villa at all.
What's the point anyway of not disclosing it? Because it doesn't really matter whether he's got a 4-year, 10-year, 20-year.
No.
If he's not good enough and it doesn't work, he won't be there that length of time.
I did enjoy this week's Champions League football from the perspective that nobody really picked it up. I had enormous sympathy for Spurs, who had qualified for 5 minutes and then found they hadn't on the previous round.
Yeah.
So, in effect, were denied qualification with the last kick of the game. Well, the last kick of the game this time round saw them finish top of the group.
I know.
And I think justice was done.
And do you know what helped them there? I'm watching that and I'm thinking, what are Marseille doing? Because Marseille could only get Europa League or nothing.
Yeah.
So if they got a point, they were in Europa League.
Absolutely.
If they got beaten, they were out of everything. And they were chasing a winner.
I don't think they knew, did they?
I don't think they knew
either.
I
think it's a bit like Manchester City playing Liverpool when Baldy was in charge. Yeah. Remember, and Niall Quinn had to run back down the tunnel and say, point's not enough, we're going down. We've got to win. They were playing keep ball in the corner.
And even with Paris, I'm sitting here watching Paris, right, who ended up finishing second, right, in their game. And I'm thinking, they don't know that they need a goal, that they need to score. To get into to win the group,
but now the debate starts: is it better to finish first or second? And you know, we go through that every year, and no one really ever knows. It's just
Do you not think so?
Dependent upon who does what in other groups, isn't it?
Well, and the only thing you would say is that no one wants to pull Paris, who finishes top.
But if they finish second, I mean, anyway.
Yeah.
Plans for fans to hear conversations between referees and VAR.
Oh, at last.
Howard Webb, who is confirmed now as taking over from Mike.
Him?
Riley. He'll be in charge for the first time on Boxing Day, and he's discussing these improvements in order that fans can become just even a part of the process would be quite nice, because at the moment it's just wrong. Well done, Tosh. Reds legend John Toshack talking in the Mirror this week about the fight for his life during COVID. He had a really bad
time. Did he really?
Really bad time. But he's back on his feet.
Better, and, good luck.
Yeah, much better. Proper guy. Well, the Hand of God ref, I mentioned this last week, I think. I blame the lino, he's been saying this week. But you would, wouldn't you? Especially if we believe him that he didn't see it.
Didn't
it wasn't
see it.
Necessarily that clear, probably,
well,
from his perspective.
But, even from,
but the lino was looking in.
But he's miles away, the lino.
Well, he was looking across, wasn't he?
He was looking across.
He was looking across.
Yeah.
Anyway, the ball's up for sale. And this week, three England heroes were pictured with it at Wembley.
I know.
Terry Butcher.
I couldn't get the other one.
Kenny Sansom.
No, I couldn't get Kenny.
Couldn't get Kenny.
I didn't get Kenny.
Kenny was looking well.
I didn't get Kenny.
Yeah,
Kenny, I know he's handsome. Looking well, but I didn't get
and Peter Reedy. And Reedy. So I said, I text Reedy. I said, well, you know, why? What are you doing promoting them? And he went, I have no fucking idea. I'm still pissed from Spain.
By the way, and that'll be the nearest he got to that ball in chasing Maradona.
Oh, it's great. Terry looks well.
Yes.
Big Terry.
Yeah.
Hero. Again, back to Champions League football this week. Owen Hargreaves talking about Liverpool. Maybe this is the recipe, he says. Set pieces and clean sheets. Set pieces.
No.
Set pieces. When did it... When, absolutely.
Archaic.
I mean, who would have thought set pieces are important in football?
No.
Really? It just... On an England name a 55-man squad for the World Cup. Why?
I know. I don't know.
Why?
Don't know. Some strange names in there.
Danny Welbeck.
I know.
Are you serious?
No. Can't be.
Why 55?
Why 55? And Danny's not going to the World Cup.
No.
Sorry.
I've got as much chance.
No.
Seriously, I'm not being unkind. Yeah. Danny Welbeck is getting nowhere near England's final 25.
No.
So why name 55? And
I don't know.
And
why name 55?
Charade. Absolute nonsense. Brendan's reared up. Brendan Rodgers says it's a disgrace that we're playing now. We're breaking the season. Players are protecting themselves, he says. It's actually something I spoke to Nigel de Jong about this week. I think Van Dijk is.
Maybe.
I think his form this year.
He missed the Euros, didn't he? He missed the Euros.
Exactly. And I think he's in the back of his mind.
He thinks he's not going to miss another one.
No.
No, but he couldn't have been protecting himself for 6 months.
Well, he could through this season.
All season?
Yes. I think he has, Andy.
Really?
Well, give me another reason for his average performances.
He's
starting
human.
At Manchester United
he's
when
human.
He should have thrown himself at a football that led to the winner.
He's human.
Yeah, but come on.
He can't always play well.
And hasn't played well since the start of the season.
Yeah, well.
The world's greatest defender.
I'll give you that. He's struggled a bit for his form.
Too right he has.
Yeah.
So a couple of others that before we talk to our guest today that I can't not... Manchester United.
Yeah.
Now got two games in a playoff against either Barca or Juve, I reckon.
Well, it could be Barca.
Could be.
But it could be nobody.
Harry Maguire playing up top.
Well, listen, I get that. You're desperate for a goal. Nothing's quite worked. I didn't get quite how long he played up top. That was something that you used to do back in the day. If you've got 10 minutes to go, you're desperate for a goal. We did it in the semi-final FA Cup against Luton when Howard threw up Derek Mountfield to play alongside me and Sharpie for the last 5 minutes of the game, and he won a free kick, and we won the game because of him. So that can work in moments of desperation, yeah, but he was up there a long time, I thought. A long time.
Very odd. Manchester United have announced there will be a statue to Jimmy Murphy at Old Trafford. I think this is absolutely right. Jim, who put the club back together post Munich.
You know him? Did you know him?
I did. Well, I got to know him a little because I did a 25th anniversary programme for Piccadilly Radio, as it was in those days. And it was all really new to me. I was born in, the year after.
Yeah.
So getting to understand it was a real education, and meeting many of the guys that travelled. Jim didn't, because he was the manager of Wales, who were playing that week, so he wasn't on the plane. People like Ian Greaves, who was injured, should have gone.
Should have been on the plane, Greaves.
But there's going to be a statue at the Stretford end to Jimmy Murphy,
good.
Not before time.
Good.
And in line with that, Jack Charlton's widow saying, come on, it's time you knighted them. And she's right.
Jack
the boys that didn't, all of them. We talked about Bobby Moore, Andy.
We've talked about Bobby Moore for time immemorial.
Yeah.
Geezy about the disgrace. It's a disgrace for the captain, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, yes, she has a very, very valid point. Yeah.
Posthumously, there's who's left? Jeff, who is already sir,
knighted.
Of course. Sir Bob, who's
already
knighted.
Sir.
But I think those that were part of it. What's the harm? Come on. I mean, we give them away for no good reason.
We give them away to...
Liz Truss has got a list of honours that she's going to...
Even as a Scot, I find it strange. I've always said to you, I find it hugely strange. England's... Just talking about Bobby Moore, but England's only ever World Cup winning captain. What is it now? 50, 60 years down the road? Still has been recognised.
Well, they say, because of course they are now dear departed, that can't be...
Yes, it can.
You can't, but you can.
Yes,
you can.
Can
do what you like.
Yes,
change
you
the
can.
Laws.
You can do it.
I mean, how can a woman who was Prime Minister of the UK for 44 days have an honours list? Seriously.
There you go. That's why nobody gets my vote.
It's nonsense. Manchester City have the most expensive starting 11 in Europe. At £560 million, these figures are averaged out from the squad. Paris Saint-Germain are in second. with 413. United third, 413. Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, Real Madrid, Barca, Juve, Bayern Munich, Newcastle, Atletico Madrid, Spurs, Napoli, Villa, 15th on that list. Wolves, West Ham, Leeds, Borussia Dortmund.
Everyone thinks that Villa haven't spent much. And Stephen was there. Spent fortune.
Yeah, they have.
Fortunes.
I mentioned this to you the other week, and you were a little dismissive.
Uh-huh.
Roberto Martinez hits back at claims that Eden Hazard is too fat and insists that those criticisms are lazy comments as well. Maybe he is too fat. But Belgium are insistent that he's the difference between them maybe making the semis and going on to win it. Not De Bruyne.
Listen, I hope they're
Eden
right.
Hazard.
I hope they're right, but there is absolutely nothing. Still, I mean, I watched Real Madrid the other day. He didn't play, did he?
No, I don't think so.
He's hardly kicked a football for 2 years, Keezy.
Getting him fit, they were saying.
But it doesn't matter. We're talking about football at the highest level. We're talking about sport at the highest level. It's not. You can't turn it off and on like a tap. You really, really can't. I don't care how talented you are.
What about the argument that he hasn't played for 2 years and so he's got 4 weeks now to excel and win the tournament
for
his country?
I hope he does. Good luck. If you're asking me, and if you asked, I think, any Belgian fan, let's say you asked 100,000 Belgian fans, right? I bet you 990,000 of them would rather have De Bruyne fit than Eden Hazard. I'm sorry, but that would be a fact.
Yeah.
Why would you? I mean, you're taking a gamble with Hazard. You're hoping he finds form. You're hoping he can be what he was at Chelsea.
Mm.
But that we haven't seen that from Hazard since the day he left Chelsea, basically.
No, that's fair.
So
that is fair.
That's a big shout from Roberto. And listen, I hope for Belgium's sake he's right, because they might need more than Kevin De Bruyne.
On the subject of concussion, Martinez Villa should have done better by last week. I think we all agree with that.
Absolutely.
Wasn't the only goalkeeper. There was another one last week.
Yeah, there was.
You won't name him because the club haven't. They made it.
Did they?
Yeah, came up with a different excuse for his absence. But think about who was injured where. Anyway, a concussion subs could be made permanent as early as March.
Yeah,
good.
Not before time.
Good.
Not before time.
That's absolutely right. So that should be the case. Just a couple more. Raheem Sterling says he's better when he's next to the box. My best position is as a winger, he says.
Well, agreed. I said to you in the week, I mean, I don't get it. I know he's new at the club and he's trying things. Raheem Sterling as a wing-back? No, don't get it. I don't get it.
Do you think Graham Potter's honeymoon is over?
I think that he's been fortunate in respect that I don't think the football they've played since he went in has been of a massive quality. They've dug out results somehow in many games where I look back at Aston Villa battered them and got beaten 2-0 or something like that. And other games have been the same. They've dug out a result. So I think that the quality that they're playing with can be much, much better or should be better. But Arsene Wenger sat with us not long ago and we said to him, how long is Potter going to get? And we were expecting him to say, well, maybe 18 months, 2 years. Mm. What did he say?
About 3 months.
He said 3 months and you and I have gone, what?
Yeah.
3 months. He said, if you don't get results, you go.
Yeah.
And particularly at Chelsea. No, I think that Graham's saving grace has been that he's won football matches. Not sure how sometimes, but he's won them. But I know a lot of Chelsea fans and a lot of them are a little unsure about where their team are or where their team are going and where they're going to end up. I think that the journey he's on, to borrow a more common phrase, is a little unsure for a lot of Chelsea fans. They're not sure. Mm. If they can see what the promised land leads to and what it looks like.
I repeat what I previously said. I think they're lacking devil.
Yeah.
They're pretty.
Yeah.
And they're getting away with it, like you said. But when they're getting away with it. They should have beaten Manchester United. And I said last week, there's nowhere in the world.
No, but listen.
Terry team would have allowed United to beat
that. Should have. But for 45 minutes, United should have put the game out of sight.
Well, that's also true.
Right.
But when you're in front.
Uh-huh. You stay in front. Yeah, yeah.
You shut the door.
Yeah, Mourinho's side would never have.
Absolutely not.
Lost that.
No.
No, they wouldn't. Not lost it.
There are one or two other bits and pieces, but I again thought of you when I saw this. So. In concluding this particular segment, fax machine.
What about him? Gone, obsolete.
Yeah.
Quite right as well. Quite right as well.
Ofcom backs the death warrant for the 80s office.
Quite right.
Fax machine is no more.
Used to do my head in. When I made a phone call, and all you'd get in the end was... He said, what the f*** is that?
But you like a landline, don't you?
No, I've still got a landline, that's but I coming. Don't use it.
That's coming. Your landline, I think, will be as obsolete as the fact
yeah,
that
you... Yeah, and it should be. I don't use it. It's just, it was in the apartment we have, and I just never thought of disconnecting it.
Not got a fax machine?
No, I got rid of the fax. I've got one of those newfangled things. What is it? I've got a lot.
It's called an iPhone.
No, I've got a scanner, copier, all that, all rolled into one.
Right.
Printer as well, by the way. Yeah, prints. By the way, I've got that and you haven't.
What? Printer?
A printer, scanner, all that.
No, I've got that.
Have you?
I've got that in the apartment.
Have
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
I think you had.
Yes, no, I was shuffling one or two things around this week in order that I can accommodate guests going forward.
Correct.
That are coming in for the World Cup. I bought a sofa bed.
I hope you've got them on your hire card.
No, I don't believe I need to do that anymore. The laws, the rules have changed.
Yes, they're changing.
So that you don't need tickets now.
After the,
correct me if I'm wrong. After
second
group
of December.
Stage. Yeah.
Second of December.
So anybody coming after that is fine.
As long as you have a hire card,
yeah.
You don't need a ticket.
That's right. Well, that's today's.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yes.
That's likely to change again,
yeah.
I would have thought.
Yes.
Shall we talk to our guest?
That would be great.
The former Wales striker whose career we were at the beginning of.
Oh, very much.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
Go on.
Luton Town.
Yes.
V... Was it Arsenal?
Newcastle.
Newcastle. FA Cup.
Yeah.
At
Kenilworth Road.
Kenilworth Road. Pleaty the manager.
Significant why?
Ooh.
Not just that John got a couple and turfed Newcastle out, but you'd sat down.
Significant why? Because before the game,
yeah.
We were doing things at the beginning of that when we were started at Sky, trying to do little different things. I met Pleaty, mm-hmm. sat with him at Kenilworth Road in the dressing room with a kind of Sabutio table, as we used it, all the mod cons back then, and little men. And Pleaty went through his what his tactical plan was going to beat Arsenal. And,
which was extraordinary.
It was really extraordinary. We promised not to run it, obviously, until after the Arsenal game. And of course, the plan that he told me laid out in front of me, they implemented it beautifully and they won the game. John got a couple. And it was just fantastic. And the next time when we ran the show, everybody's like, wow, what a good show that was. Pleaty did know who...
It's the only example I can think of. I mean, I've said to you many times as we stand in the studio here at BN watching reporters ask managers prior to games, well, are you in a 4-3-3 or is it a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-4-2? Well, I'm not going to tell you.
No, you're not.
What's the point of asking that question?
Yeah, it's the daft one.
It's never had an answer.
Back three and a back four. Well, you'll find out in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Although I suppose around the corner is, well, the window's open now. Have you got any money to spend?
Oh, yeah. What will you be buying anyway?
Well, if we are, I'm not going to tell you. So again, why do they ask that question? I don't understand.
What
anyway.
What about these injuries? Do you think there's any more than there would be at the end of a season?
But my view is, Andy, well, you summed it up. There are always injuries.
Yes.
I mean, how many times have England gone to a tournament with a David Beckham that was
Wayne
injured?
Rooney.
Wayne Rooney with a meniscus. Yeah, it's always the case.
I know. But why are we making such a thing about it now?
Because it's Qatar and because it's a Winter World Cup.
All right.
That's why.
Okay.
Players always get injured in
miss
big tournaments.
Players miss big tournaments.
Do you know what the answer is, you see? Now, you've opened up for yourself a can of worms there.
Have I?
Yes. People like Chilwell, who might not get a chance to play in a World Cup again if he's got to wait 4 years for it.
Well, unlucky.
Why not play it every 2 years? And then he can.
Well,
and then we can see the best players in the world regularly on the best football pitches in the world.
No.
Playing football around the world.
Well, I've got a better idea. Let's do it every year.
Well, you see, when you say that, you're almost inviting me to
say yes.
Yes.
No.
We play the Champions League every year.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a bigger competition.
No, exactly. We play it every year. And it's the same teams that are in the finals every year.
Yeah, but it's almost a bigger competition.
No, it's not a bigger competition.
Than the World Cup.
The thing, it's exclusivity.
You get more players in it.
No, it's exclusivity that makes
exclusivity.
It.
Exclusivity.
That's it. That's what I was saying.
You mean the exclusivity of it?
That's it. Well, you're the journalist.
No,
I'm the footballer.
No. 4 years is too long.
No, it's not.
It's only four years. We've been through this many times. It's only
care.
4 years because it was
it's what makes it special.
Impossible to afford
it's
when
what it makes
started.
It special.
And now it's not impossible
and
to
you're
afford.
Unlucky. I missed the World Cup because of injury.
Exactly.
But, well,
you might
so
not
what?
Have done.
Well, that was unlucky.
You also missed the World Cup because of Gordon McQueen's injury.
Well, I missed it because of his injury?
Yeah. Well, they wanted to take him.
And he had to, but when he had the plaster on.
Yeah, leg in plaster.
Leg in
left
plaster.
You at home.
Yeah, left me. I know. Well, hardly the same position, but I know what you mean. I know your thought
but there was
process.
Only room in the squad for one.
Odd,
yeah,
I
he
know.
Was. No, there's another example.
Nightmare.
He was injured. Who Nightmare. Was that? Willie Ormond?
No, it was...
Ali.
Ali McLeod. Yeah. We were on the march with Ali's army.
There are no surprises.
Yeah, no don't go there. You'll upset me.
former Welsh international, whose career, as I said, we were at the beginning of and watched with a lot of interest.
Yep.
Great fella. Coming out to Qatar to work as a co-commentator for ITV at the World Cup, watching his beloved Wales. It is John Hartson. Big John Hartson. I am delighted, John, that you've taken time out to talk to us. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well, Richard and Andy. It's good to speak to you lads as well.
There's lovely.
Lovely, lovely. And I don't mind speaking to him today, actually, because I was very worried as our European campaign was evolving that when we got the big man, he might be battering me because we didn't do very well.
No, he's not like that.
Neither did his side, so I'm quite happy.
and you're referring to Celtic
and
Rangers.
Rangers, of course.
Yeah, before anyone gets confused, Wales and Scotland.
No, Celtic and Rangers.
The Scots didn't cover themselves in glory, John, did they?
Mm.
No, they didn't. And I've got to say, though, I thought Celtic had good moments in certain games. I think their downfall really was... They weren't clinical enough, Richard and Andy. They created many chances. And I thought the game won against Real Madrid at Celtic Park. They were very good in the first half. Could have gone in front, could have gone into half-time, you know, leading the game. But and I think they created good moments in games. They just weren't able to put the ball in the net. And domestically, you know, in the Scottish Premiership, they're scoring for fun. So that was, I think. But... again, I think at this level, you know, Rangers got to the Europa League final last year. They did absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
but a step up, Andy, even from Champions League to Europa League is another level, as you know. But they struggled. They had a really tough group as well. They probably had the worst group. You know, Napoli, you were flying.
It's all experience.
Well, let's hope so.
It's a building block.
Yeah.
The days when Welsh centre forwards scored winners in the Camp Nou are long since
long gone.
Yeah, long gone. Sadly.
Long gone. Long gone.
No, the reason John is with us this week, and I said, John, thank you, is not because it's been announced that he's coming to Qatar as a co-commentator for ITV,
yes.
Which is great news.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to catching up, John.
Yeah.
But because I was doing what I do a lot this past week. Sitting at home.
Upsetting people.
On my own. sitting at home on my own on my iPad, which I'm sure conjures thoughts that a lot of people don't want.
Yes, not at this time. No, not at any time.
What I was watching was John Hartson's goals for Coventry City. And I thought to myself, by the way.
Sad.
No, not sad.
You are.
No. Well, yes. 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 But I was going through YouTube and many things. Yes. And then this leapt out at me and I thought, my God, John, what a half season you had. I mean, almost single-handed, nearly kept us up. I mean, what a spell that was. How enjoyable, if at all.
No, it was very enjoyable. I think I got myself really fit. As you know, Gordon Strachan was the manager and you don't play in Gordon's teams unless you're fit. Gordon really worked me very, very hard. We had a right good go. You know, we went to Manchester United. Unfortunately, I got 2 goals at Old Trafford. I think it was Snam and, you know.
Spawny winner from Giggs, John. It was a spawny headed looper from 20 yards. I mean,
great header.
No, it wasn't.
I've never seen him do that in my life, Ryan Giggs, you know. We went to a derby. It wasn't so much of a local derby, but we played Leicester away. We beat them 3-1, and I remember going up against Taggart, Elliott, and Walsh. If one didn't get you, the other two tried to get you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we had good performances. I think it was John Terry's debut. I think when Chelsea came to Highfield Road. And Desai went off. He'd had enough by half time.
That's Marcelo. We do a lot of work with out here, John. He made his debut, ironically, for Chelsea at Coventry, and Dion beat him up.
Yeah, this is becoming a theme. Yeah. I'm going to batter Marcelo when I see him. Yeah,
he said he'd never been in a game like it.
Dion was great. I don't think Dion gets the credit he deserves. He was a fantastic centre half as well. Dion, he was a leader of men. He was a real leader of men, was Dion Dublin.
I agree. He was I was going to say he's the best. I probably should check. He was the second best centre forward we've ever had.
Yeah, quickly.
John.
Yeah. Who was the best? Robbie Keane.
John Hartson, obviously. No, Cyril was magnificent. Cyril, who's always associated with West Brom.
West Brom, Cyril Regis.
Played more games for us than he did West Brom. Yeah, scored no more goals for us than he did West
Brom.
No one
remembers
and won
that.
An FA Cup winners' medal playing for us.
No one remembers
far more
that.
Than he won at West Brom.
When you mention Cyril Regis, people always say West Brom.
Well, let me try and redress that. Okay. And I'm with John. Dion Dublin never got the credit for being a magnificent
centre. Correct, I agree with that.
Top class, John, wasn't he?
He was just a good footballer, Richard. You know, and he was great on the training ground. He was always very enthusiastic. Players looked up to him. And he was a leader of men. You know, Gordon loved him. He could play him centre-half, you know, with Gary Breen and one or two others. But we had a brilliant, brilliant squad. That how on earth we went down, you know, look at Roland Nielsen, Marcus Hall, Craig, you know.
Carsley.
Lee Carsley, who's doing great now, isn't he? He's with England. I think he's with the younger group with England. It was a shame we went down. We had a real good go, but... I always believe, Richard, as well, if we kept on to our best players, we'd have had a great chance to come back up the following year.
Yeah, I absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, particularly the centre forward who jumped ship and went and joined Celtic. Yeah,
no, that wasn't his decision. that was all down to finance, I'm afraid. But I will defend him.
Yes, exactly. I'm winding him up.
Lots of good players had to go, sadly. But what was the most? What was the most fun, John? I'd said to Andy before you joined us, we were there when you announced yourself.
Yes,
Luton, Newcastle.
Yeah.
So obviously a player that we've kept an eye on through many ups and downs. But what was the most fun and where?
I think I was at my best. I think I was at my real best at West Ham for 18 months. My dad watched me play every game. And when I went to West Ham, Harry sort of, he made me feel 10 feet tall. He built this team around me. You know, we had young Frank coming through, Rio Ferdinand coming through, Joe Paul, Trevor Sinclair on one side, Stan Lazaridis on the other, playing with really good footballers.
Not bad.
Me and Paul Kitson, we hit it off almost straight away. And we never worked on it, Andy. I don't know. It's really funny because sometimes, you know, you look at, you know, great strikers, like even Egan Agish, and you know, people say they were almost telepathic. But you know what? On the training ground, Harry never really paired us up.
I get that, John. Sometimes it just works, doesn't it?
It just works. It just works, yeah. And we had really good players. And we had likes of Ian Bishop in the middle of the park, who was a really good player, John Moncur.
Yeah.
And we were solid at the back. We had big Richard Hall, who was head on a stick. He could head the ball for fun, the former Southampton player. And we just had good players. We had Dixie, who went run through a wall, you know, Julian Dix. So I would say West Ham. I scored a lot of goals at Celtic. But when I was at West Ham there under Harry, I think probably that's where I actually, you know, hit my best form. I got 24 goals in the Premier League. I think I missed out on the Golden Boot behind Andy Cole, I think, who got 25.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not a bad second, John.
That was probably where, you know, but I enjoyed my career. I think a lot of players would swap their careers, Richard, for mine. You know, I broke records. I went for big money. Mm. You know, I went to Wimbledon for 7.5 million.
Well, I was going to say, I mentioned that, John. I'll bet you get asked more questions about your time at Wimbledon than the rest of your career. Would that be fair?
No. I missed the crazy gang as such, but we still had some good characters. We had Ben Thatcher, Marcus Gayle, Carl Court, Andy Roberts, Neil Sullivan. So we still had some really good guys in there. Joe Kinnear, bless him, you know, Joe suffered a heart attack within the 3 or 4 weeks I was there. Then Egil Olsen come in, the Norwegian.
Oh dear. Yeah. Didn't anybody ever think of removing or hiding the Wellingtons?
Or burning them?
Well, they could have gone on the same fire as your suit.
Yes.
We played Watford, one of the first. And Egil came in. I think we won 3-2 at Vicarage Road. Great game it was. And Egil Olsen came into the dressing room when Marcus Gayle had got his wellies and he'd put a mash to them and they're all over the shower.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
So am I. It's just, it wouldn't have been the same if you hadn't done that, John.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You know what, like, but so sad. Sam Haman would have encouraged that. You know, Sam Haman would have given you a new deal on the back of that. You know, he was Sam was, and the more louder and the worse, you know, players were, encouraged it. He loved it. He loved all that side of it. But Egil Olsen, he must have thought, Jesus Christ, what on earth have I enjoyed it?
I had no idea that had happened. Fantastic. But I am very pleased to discover that was the case.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. I'd love to have seen his face, Egil Olsen, when he bowled.
Should you have had more time at Arsenal, John?
Well, that was down to myself, really, Richard, because Arsene Wenger came in and he quite liked me, Arsene. He wanted me to stay. He wanted me to learn. I had Wright and Bergkamp ahead of me at the time, but I still played many games with myself and Wrighty, and Dennis played in the hall. I would have loved a bit more time, Richard, but I think to my own credit, I wanted to play.
Yeah, good lad.
Yeah, good lad.
I wasn't happy being on the bench, and I knew I had two ridiculous forwards almost becoming fantastic together as a partnership. And I had Harry on the phone as well. He said, look, John, come to West Ham. He said, we're struggling. We need a big centre forward. Mm. And I wanted to play, you know, to my credit. I think Andy's the same. You train all week. You train all week, Andy, to peak at the weekend.
Correct.
And always my thought process. And then eventually, with hindsight, you know, you look back. Arsenal won the Invincibles. You know, they won. They were really successful in 1998. I left in 97. I could have been sitting at home with a couple of medals in my cabinet. But I think you act at the time what you believe is right. And I thought that the move to West Ham was great. You know, I scored a lot of goals at West Ham.
Was Kevin Campbell there as well? Was he one of the forwards as well? Young Kevin Campbell. Was he a young player there still as
George
well?
George Graham, Kevin. Yeah. More Kevin? George, I think.
And, Yeah, but he just moved when I got there. He went to Turkey, you know that?
I think he went to play in Turkey.
Yes. Alan Smith as well. Smudger was a brilliant centre forward, as you know. Won the Golden Boot twice. He was a great foil for Merson and Wright and these guys. Yeah. But Alan Smith as well, starting to, you know, get on the wrong side of 30. He was looking to retire. So it was a brilliant move. I loved Arsenal. I got on great with all the players, and it was a wonderful moment for me. I was only 19 years of age, you know, signing for Arsenal. So, and I played in the two European finals, the Cup Winners' Cup final and the Super Cup final. So I played in two European finals at Arsenal.
That bench that you were sitting on, by the way, that wasn't too happy. It was later reported.
No.
It wasn't in the best of condition.
No, it was not.
No, I think sometimes, John, you the pride, actually, that you had in yourself and the desire to play tops sitting and waiting for medals.
Yeah, in my do you think, John, taking that on from what Keezy said there, do you think too many of the modern-day players are happy to do what you weren't happy to do? And that is sit around, collect a few medals, not play as much as you want. Do you think that's a trait in the modern player?
Andy, you're bang on. You couldn't have put it any better. I totally agree with you. I think in a career, you're lucky if you get 15 years, you know, if you avoid injury and everything. And you've got to play. You've got to make an impact on the world of football. You've got to showcase your talent, and you can't do that if you're sat on the bench. All right, we might be earning lots and lots of money, winning medals, but I wanted to play, and Harry gave me the chance to play every single week.
Yeah.
I do think now, I think that there are players. I know the squads are bigger now, Andy, the competitions and everything else, and you need almost two players for every position. I think that's what the top managers want now. Mm-hmm. You know, they want loads and loads of options. They want a really strong bench. And the likes of Mahrez and people like this at Man City, you know, they don't particularly play every week, but when they do come in, they do a great job. You know, so could you argue that Mahrez really, he's at City, he probably plays half the games throughout the season? Exactly. And you think, well, you know, you wouldn't say to him now, move, but years ago. And remember, I wanted to play for Wales as well. You know, I'm very passionate and about Wales, and I'd rush Hughes and Saunders, three fantastic front men, almost on the verge of calling it a day. So I knew I needed to be playing football to get it set up as well. You know, I needed to be performing every week. And but I totally agree with you. I do think people now, a lot of people sit around, pick up their money, pick up their medals, and if they're happy with it, and picking up the odd trophy now and again, they're quite happy to stay at the club rather than go somewhere where they're going to play every week.
You mentioned Wales there, and we're coming up to the World Cup in a couple of weeks, and it's the first time in, 50-odd years your country's made it?
Yes.
50-odd years? Yeah. 60, 60, is it? Oh, wow. What do you expect from Wales, John, in reality?
Well, if our big players, you know, the likes of obviously Bale, Ramsey, Joe Allen, Dan James, Kiefer Moore, who's doing very well at Bournemouth, scoring goals. If these guys are up for it and they're ready and they're fit and you know, they are at their best, we've got a real chance because we're a decent team. We're a very decent team. We've got some good young players. Nico Williams at left back, and we've got Conor Roberts at Burnley right back. In the middle of the park, I mentioned Joe Allen. We've got Ethan Ampadu, who's a size. He can play in the middle of a three, or he can play in the midfield. Three at the back, he can sit in the middle there. So if we get our best players and we can get that togetherness and that passion that has got us, done us really well in the previous two tournaments. You look at, we got to the semi-final under Chris Coleman in France. Fantastic. And then we qualified for the other Euros then in 2021, got out of the group, and we lost to Denmark. in the last 16, Denmark being eventual semi-final losers to England. Very good side. But I think for Wales, Andy, I think success would be to maybe try and get out of the group.
Yeah.
We play the USA, then Iran, and then England. England, of course, will be very strong, but that'll be a great game for the lads to be involved in, mm-hmm. and obviously playing in the World Cup. So I expect Wales, if we have everybody fit, ready to go, I think we can upset a few teams, but we have to have our best players available.
Yeah.
John, that's probably the best place to leave it, right up to date like that. Thank you so much again. It's been fun. And we're very much looking forward to seeing
you. Yeah, we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks, big man.
We know very well where you're staying. I know that you're surrounded by a number of people that are close to us.
Yes.
And we will find you, John.
You're not far.
Lovely. Love that. I'd love to see you and catch up. Brilliant.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Brilliant. Top man.
And thank you, Andy.
John Hartson. Wasn't it nice just to talk to John about football?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Very knowledgeable as well.
Yes, totally knowledgeable. Totally knowledgeable.
And that, do you think he's got a stronger accent than Tidy?
Tidy being Rodri Williams.
Yes.
The star of a previous podcast. Uh-huh. Yeah, I love that Welsh accent. You know, I don't necessarily agree with the table that we were discussing at the start of the podcast. Geordie, I always think is lovely.
Yeah,
and I do think a good Edinburgh to upset
Edinburgh,
Glasgow. I think
exactly. You've just upset me.
Yeah,
we're from Glasgow.
Suey. I mean Graham's.
Graham.
Well, exactly.
Graham.
Graham is coming as well.
Graham's coming. Yeah.
Got some bad news for Graham this week.
Oh, champagne's gone up.
No. No, I found out where he's staying for the World Cup. He's working with ITV as well.
Oh.
The hotel he's in.
We do know where
he's shocking turndown service.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, you'll hate that.
I know.
He'll
I know.
Hate that. I know. He'll hate, if his turndown service isn't 100%, he complains to the management.
It was a major issue here on one occasion when he joined us. And apparently somebody had been leaving towels all over the floor of his hotel room and beds were unmade.
And they looked into that. And do you know who that was? Him.
Tell your mates now you found us. If indeed you have, if you're enjoying the podcasts, equally tell more. We are totally independent, by and large.
16 days to go, son.
Yeah, so we can, by and large.
Yeah, yeah, by and large.
Say what we like.
Yeah, pretty much. So, ish. Yeah, ish, I suppose.
See you next week.
You always have to be careful.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.